You know, Rebels, if you've been checking out some of my promotional ads on social media, you'll be aware that I have been using a lot of AI programs to help me create ads. But you know what? There's a lot more uses for AI than just funny little videos. And I'd like to introduce one of our new sponsors, Podium. It is a leader in creating AI tools for podcasters. Now, let's say you've got a podcast, or maybe you're even thinking of doing a podcast. You're probably wondering, well, how can AI be integrated with your workflow? I'll tell you about Podium. As a podcaster, you know that writing show notes and creating chapters and transcribing episodes takes a lot of time, and it can cost you a lot of money too. But you know what? That's where Podium comes in. It's an AI tool designed specifically for creators and podcasters with the goal of making post-production tasks quick and easy. And in just a few minutes, Podium generates show notes, chapters, summaries, clips for social media, a full transcript, suggested episode titles, social media posts, and more. Whew, that's a lot of work for one little program. Your show notes are key to your podcast success because it helps new listeners find your podcast and they'll know if it's a fit for them, you know, kind of like too many podcasts. It also improves your SEO, that's your search engine optimization. Ooh, big phrase there. And overall accessibility. And with Podium, you can focus on creating a great podcast and let Podium's AI do the heavy lifting. But Podium isn't just for solo creators and podcasters. It's a game changer for editors, producers, marketers, agencies, and production studios. Teams that use Podiums are able to increase workloads, decrease turnaround times, and improve their quality. How does it work? Very easy. First, go to Podium's website, and you'll see that link that's right there in the show notes. You get 3 hours free just to try it. Pretty cool, huh? And using that link also supports this show as well. And you know what else happens? Because I'm a good guy. You use my link, you will get 50% off for your first month. So visit the site, upload an MP3 file, and download your files, and that's it. And if you need anything else, you can use Podium GPT to generate articles and any marketing copy you might need in seconds. Instant show notes, transcripts, chapters for your podcast or channel. This will level up that podcast. So check out Podium today.
The Sherpa Screening Room is a presentation of Too Many Podcasts, which is brought to you in cooperation with the SJ Network. If you're someone who'd like to appear on podcasts, contact Stephen Joyner at s-j-network.com. This show is hosted by Jim the Podcast Sherpa. With a name like that, you can't say I didn't warn you.
Today's guest on the Sherpa Screening Room is musical artist, Autonix. He's been creating some unique musical soundscapes. It's the kind of music you might hear at a rave, Coachella, or Burning Man.
You know, the Sherpa likes to tell people that he's performed at Burning Man. But I think he's confusing it with the time he stood too close to the gas grill during a barbecue.
Coming to you from Sherpa Chalet in beautiful downtown Mount Podcastia, it's time for entertainment interviews in the Sherpa Screening Room. Grab an aisle seat and a bucket of popcorn, but don't crunch too loud or you'll miss the show. Now, here's your host, Jim, the Podcast Sherpa.
Hello, Rebels of the Sherpalution. It is me, Jim the Podcast Sherpa, welcoming you to the Sherpa Screening Room, a presentation of, what else? Too Many Podcasts. And these episodes are where we get to know creators, you know, musicians, writers, actors, directors, producers, and other amazing people. This week, of course, does not disappoint. I gotta tell you, you know, I've been pretty lucky in the course of doing the show where I've gotten to speak to established artists like Scotty Morris of Big Bad Voodoo Daddy, or DC the Brain Supreme from Tag Team. And I get to also talk to up-and-coming artists that you may or may not have heard of, like Denny Hagen or OK Cello, or my guest today. I don't know what name you know my guest under. You might know him as Four Eyes. You might know him as Rise and Shine. You may know him as Autonix. Or you might even just know him as Kevin.
Kevin!
But anyway, all four of them, or just one of them, just showed up at the Sherpa Screening Room, and we got to know about his music that's coming out. He is a gentleman who's worked in the recording industry for about 7 years, and has also been a DJ, and he's taking all that knowledge, and he's creating some new sounds, really exciting stuff, you know, the things that you might hear at a rave, or maybe at Coachella, or Burning Man. and on an album or in the clubs. It's really interesting speaking to a younger person like this and finding that he actually had some late musical inspiration. And sometimes that's good if you want to create a brand new sound, and this guy is hard at work at that. And in the show notes, I will be providing you with a link to one of his songs. And it's really cool stuff. It's called Surrender. I think you'll really enjoy it. It's very different, very unique. I enjoyed it a lot, and I'm an old guy. So this old guy is going to talk to this young guy, and depending on what his name is, we'll just call him Autonix for this one. And me and Autonix had a nice little chat, and you'll get to hear that right about now. Hello there, Rebels. We are back here in the music room of the Sherpa Chalet, and my guest today is a brand new artist. He is paving his own little vanguard into the world of experimental bass. His name is Autonix. He's coming to us from wonderful San Antonio, Texas. Autonix, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You were originally an audio engineer, right? A vocal engineer?
Yeah. So the first, 5 or 6 years of me producing, which is pretty much about as long as I've been producing, okay. I've been working a lot more in the space of audio engineering, or specifically for vocals. I worked very closely with the vocalist. I just was kind of her in-house engineer. So that was where a lot of my time went, but now I've transitioned kind of away from that into more just focusing on creating my own music. So here I am.
And you were also like a club DJ too. So I guess you were kind of really incorporating all of that into your style.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and this vocalist that I was working with, we actually would perform live together. So she would be singing live over the sets. But yeah, it's, it was a lot more, I guess, dubstep, a lot heavier, and then a lot more melodic dubstep at that point. But
I know there are some people that aren't familiar with like the styles of music, like bass and drum and dubstep. Could you kind of like draw a little thing, give us a little primer on it, if you don't mind?
Yeah. I don't know. That's hard. And honestly, I think my USB would be most DJ's nightmare, because how I will label songs under certain genres, I think, is very wrong most of the time. So, but I've also come to find that I'm not the only one. I think the lines are being blurred between genres so much nowadays that it's harder to say. But dubstep is, it sits in that 140 to 150 range, and just kind of the kick, snare, think Excision or Virtual Riot. But yeah, it's a lot more of the mainstream bass scene in the US here. Whereas now I've transitioned into, I don't even really know what genre to put my music in. That's why I just call it experimental bass at this point.
Okay. There's really nothing wrong with that, with carving your own path. Yeah. At least, nobody's copying you yet, right?
Yeah.
I was there first. It's interesting that that you're based out of Texas now. I mean, is that club scene, is that well suited for the kind of music that you do?
Austin is, for sure. So I'm originally from Utah, from the Salt Lake area. I was born and raised there, lived a few different places, but that was most of my life there. And I knew that the Austin scene was really big. It was a really great scene, at least so I heard. And so I'd been looking to move out here for years. I knew I kind of wanted to end it up around Austin, and everything just kind of fell into place this last October, and so ended up moving out here. But we moved to San Antonio because it's a lot cheaper.
Okay.
Austin is just growing so fast that one of the big reasons I wanted to move to Texas in general is because of how much cheaper it is, the cost of living out here. And so San Antonio, we're only an hour and a half drive from Austin. So it's an easy enough commute without having to pay the cost of it. And I really ended up loving it here in San Antonio. So
Okay. Well, yeah, that's always a plus. And that's where the Alamo is, right?
Yeah. Yep. So everything is Alamo Street, Alamo Way, Alamo this, that.
You get to remember it, right?
Yeah. Oh, there's no forgetting it here. No.
You know, it's funny. A friend of mine lived in Texas for a while, and he thought that, like, he'd always imagined that the Alamo was like this huge place. And it's really not as big as people expect it to be, is it?
Right, right. Yeah, it's, I don't know. It is kind of crazy. But I feel like that's kind of the same with a lot of different landmarks, like, what is it called? The mountain with the faces.
Oh, Mount Rushmore.
Mount Rushmore. There we go. I've never been, but I've heard it's the same thing. You kind of go up and it's like, this is really cool, but it's a lot smaller than you'd think it is. So yeah, it's funny how that works.
Yeah, I guess the legend, I think, probably supersedes the actual view of whatever it is that you're looking at.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, you had made an interesting comment about that genres were kind of merging and overlapping. What are your feelings on that? Because I know, like, recently, you know, they made such a big deal about Beyonce doing a country album, yet she's from Dallas.
Right. No, I mean, I love it. It's, you know, music is going to progress regardless. That's
right.
You know, that's kind of a given. So I think it's almost the most predictable way for it to progress right now is, you know, if you really look, we've only had recorded music for what, not even 100 years.
Right.
And so it's still like pretty new, just, you know, once we got jazz, that really shook things up. And I feel like that's where all of these genres came from anyway. So now it's almost like they're reconverging and we're going to get some new age jazz in the future.
Yeah. And I think it's probably good for radio too, you know, but I think radio may take a while to adapt to it.
Oh yeah.
You know, I think they're so stuck in tradition, I think, sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it is, I think that's definitely the less predictable part of where the music industry is heading is, you know, like streaming services and, like, I don't know how sustainable it's going to be for artists because of, you know, artists really don't get much out of them. But right now it's the big thing. So I am curious to see kind of how that plays out in the future as well.
Did you really kind of build up on your reputation from what you were doing in the clubs and everything like that? Or is that how it kind of started?
Definitely. Social media has definitely been a weak spot for me, so can't give much credit there. It definitely was just doing some different underground shows throughout Utah. Obviously now I changed my name and moved to Texas, so I'm still, you know, connected with, I still have plenty of friends in the scene out in Utah, but
yeah, he didn't commit a crime, folks. He just
yeah.
It's a stage name. It's okay.
But
we're not harboring anybody here.
But absolutely, it's mostly been the live shows, and then just kind of, you know, I had one song under my old alias that got picked up by the algorithm with Spotify that gained a little bit of traction, but. I don't know. I still feel like I haven't really hit too high of a mile marker, I guess.
Okay.
Yet, so
you consider yourself still on the rise.
Right. And I think that's what made it I can't say an easy decision, but a realistic decision of being able to start over and create a new name and kind of build from the ground up is I didn't feel like I was really coming back too far.
Mm-hmm. Now, under your previous stage name, I'm probably going to say it wrong. It was just RZNSHN. Is like Rise and Shine? Is that?
Oh, so Rise and Shine. So that's actually, so that's not an old alias. That's still a current one. That's a side project I've got with my friend Arcadia Light.
Okay.
And that's really where a lot of this experimental bass music started is... He is just a very creative and very in tune with the music kind of guy and just makes some really interesting stuff. And we started working together. He wanted to get into the more electronic side of things. And we just started coming up with some really cool stuff. So my next single that I'm dropping is actually going to be a Rise and Shine song. I think all the tracks that I'm dropping this year from here on out are all going to be Rise and Shine.
Okay.
Yeah, the old one was, it was Four Eyes, 4IZ.
Oh, okay. Yeah. What was different about that music under Four Eyes that is under Autonics?
It was definitely geared a lot more towards the vocalist that I was working with. It was also, you know, I've always felt like I've, you know, been making the music for myself. And it's really just been recently that I've realized that, you know, with that whole project, I was making it for, you know, for her or for people like to get the attention. And with Autonics, it really is a lot more. I'm finding a lot more that I am really making it for myself. And I'm a little more comfortable to draw outside of, color outside of the lines and try some new things.
So your website, I know they had a link to your YouTube page where there is a track called Surrender.
Yes.
And it's got a really trippy video, by the way. If people want to check it out, I encourage them to do it. And the sound is very unusual. It kind of reminds me of like a soundtrack to a soundscape or something like that. You know, it's very unconventional in some ways, if that's okay to put it that way.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it is. I mean, it's funny. When I first started it, I really wasn't planning on dropping it. It was just a piece to be experimental, to just kind of try out some new sounds and just mess around, let it be whatever it needed to be. And the right before the second drop, it has the little Autonics. And once I had put that in, it kind of started bringing it all together. And there was something about it that I just felt like I needed to put it out and it needed to be my first song because it was so different from anything I've ever done before. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I've gotten a lot of comments like that. I've never really heard anything like this. And I like that I've been able to create something like that.
No, that was actually going to be my next question about your creative process, because I mean, you're doing something that's really kind of like, I think from a lot of regular music listeners, very out of left field. You know, how do you start like with the heart of something like that and build on it? Is it just you hear a sound in your mind and you just say, let's see if I can recreate it. And then you're adding like a beat to it and effects. Is that what it kind of boils down to?
I think it kind of changes up every time. Sometimes I have a little more of a target that I'm shooting for. But even with that, you know, I try to stay really loose with it, and wherever the song goes, it goes. I don't know. I heard this idea. I think it was on a TED Talk or something. It was an author talking about it, that essentially ideas are their own entities. Like, we don't have ideas. The ideas are their own thing. And so, you know, I don't really take credit for the idea of the song. I just take credit for, you know, learning how to kind of bring that song to life. And the way that I do it is what is my sound.
Okay. And I know the description that I was given of your music, that it kind of ties into like a love of astrophysics and the human psyche and really what goes on in our brains. That's actually got to be a part of that as well, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. So just, I mean, really just kind of the all-around message that I really want to kind of portray through my music and through my performances is, you know, a willingness to look at your shadow, essentially doing shadow work. I don't know if you've heard of Carl Jung.
Okay.
Yeah, very smart guy. I love his work. I love his books. I've just been getting a lot more into that. But essentially it comes from, you know, my own kind of journey of self-discovery and a lot of my insecurities, or just, you know, a lot of aspects of my shadow that I just ignored and pushed away. And then, you know, during a crisis, then they all came out with high emotions And it was like this side of me that I just like didn't even want to accept existed. But once I did and I really started digging into that, you know, I've learned so much about myself and I've been able to grow so much, and just really taking that responsibility for myself, everything and everything about myself. That's really kind of what I want to push, because, you know, all of the issues in the world start with individuals. And, you know, that I think if we all had a little more individual accountability, it would fix a lot. So
really for you, I mean, the look inside really opened up your key to your creativity, I guess. That's basically what you're saying.
Yeah. I think with my old music, when I first got into it, I really wanted to go more like a melodic route and, you know, feel good music. And now it's like, I want to go a little darker, and I still want to keep it melodic and just have that duality of it. And, you know, there's beauty in the darkness.
Right. And you can really go on either side of the fence, as you know, I mean, and just kind of still put your own stamp on it, because like what you're doing is so unique anyway.
Right. Yeah. Well, and like I said, I try to just let the music take me and just do as it comes to me. But, you know, there is also a certain vulnerability to that, because when it is really different, then, you know, I always worry if it's, you know, good enough, especially with like the audio engineering side of things. But ultimately, I've gotten to the point where I feel like I owe it to myself to start putting out just what feels right.
And I guess probably when you're doing music that's like this, there's not too much of a loss in quality between what you're creating in the studio and what you're doing on stage, right? Because I guess you have like a lot of, you know, MP3 tracks or whatever it is that you use. I'm sure it's probably something better than that, obviously. But, you know, you can kind of carry that with you, kind of like a DJ would be carrying their music with them.
Right. Absolutely. And I mean, that's, you know, when people call me a DJ or ask if I'm a DJ, I kind of make the joke, and I've heard others make it. And I just agree, you know, I'm like, I'm not really so much a DJ. I'm a music producer, but the way I'm able to perform my music is through CDJs and through DJing it, because it is all electronic.
Right.
I do want to start getting into a lot more live. I want to start adding some more live elements. I need to get back into kind of relearning piano, and I just want to start experimenting with some different instruments and really bring that live aspect, because that is something that, you know, is often lost in the electronic scene.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting, especially, you know, when you're at this point in your career, like you said, you still feel that you're kind of on the rise right now. So there's not a lot of expectations, because people don't know you that well. So now if you want to throw in, you know, piano tracks or even like brass tracks or even extra percussion or a certain type of foreign sound, like maybe with African beats or Asian beats or something like that, you're free to do it. There's no one to say, well, you didn't used to do this before. Well, how would you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, and also that's kind of what Rise and Shine has become is, you know, I do want to somewhat hone in a little bit of a sound and like carve out my brand for Autonics. And so like, that's what I'm working towards. But Rise and Shine is that outlet of, like, let's get really weird with it. Like, let's just try all sorts of new things. But also, you know, it moves between the two of them. So it works out great.
You really kind of have an out either way, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
If it's not good for one, it'll work for the other, right?
Yep.
So who were some of your like earlier musical influences?
Originally, to give just a quick background of my whole music within my life, I was never big into music up until like a little bit more in high school. And then after I graduated high school and once I went to my first rave, Mm-hmm. I just, up to that point, I just kind of listened to whatever my friends were listening to, whatnot. Then went to my first rave and it was like discovered this whole new genre and fell in love. And it was Seven Lions and Adventure Club were kind of they seeing them live was what really started putting it in my head of like, man, I really want to do that. Mm-hmm. And once I started DJing and started learning how to make music, then they very much were my earliest inspirations. But it's really morphed over time. Now it's a lot more Zed's Dead or really just anyone doing anything new. I just really love hearing different stuff, anything okay. that I've never heard before.
There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I think maybe sometimes the world needs a little bit more of that and a little more acceptance of some new sounds that are coming in. And like I said earlier, just so it's not like the same old thing. It's not that classic rock station that plays the same 10 songs and it's like, okay, yeah. Just play something different, please. I love these songs, but something else.
Right.
What's next? I mean, what is on your grand scheme of things?
Oh, that is a great question that I'm still figuring out myself.
Okay. Said you were working on some music coming out.
Yeah. So I've got this new Rise and Shine song coming out at the end of this month on the 31st. So the last day of this month. And then after that, we're going to be dropping a 4-song EP. And just waterfall it. So they'll come out as singles at a time. Mm-hmm. And that's a Rise and Shine EP. And that's with a couple of our other friends. They live here with me. They both rap/sing. So just kind of became this whole creative project within the house. So I'm really looking forward to those, but still need a bit of work on that. But that should take up pretty much the rest of this year.
That's very unique. I didn't realize that yet you had other collaborators that are living under the same roof. That's got to be pretty interesting. I mean, I imagine you know, you're sitting there over breakfast and then all of a sudden, guess what I had a dream about? Let's head to the studio.
it's great. I pretty much most of the time that I have been making music and just in this space, I have almost always lived with other creators, and I can't imagine doing it not living with other creators. Okay. It is because it's, you know, having people to constantly feed off of or,
right.
You know, it's, I don't know, collabing in general just has always just done it for me.
And you don't have to look very far either.
Right.
Will you like eventually be like touring, like you'd be playing like clubs and stuff like that, or like giant raves? That's kind of where your audience lies, right?
Yeah, that's the goal. I obviously the focus has more been just getting the music out and getting on top of my social media, getting active with it again, mm-hmm. And just getting consistent with those. And you know, I'm obviously open to shows, but I haven't been getting out much. I've been to Austin twice since I've been here, so I haven't even actually been out there very often. But I do want to start kind of getting into the underground scene. And next year is when I really want to push to start getting some more live shows and just kind of see what happens. But end goal is world tour. That's been my goal since day one. Is I just want to travel the world playing music.
That's a great ambition to have. Mm. And I'm sure it'll be a lot of fun along the way.
Oh yeah.
So I know as much as you say you're not big on social media, but there are ways that people can check out your music though, right?
Yeah. And you know, I'm out, the music's out on everywhere on all streaming platforms. I am getting reactivated on all social media. Well, I can't say all. I think I'm done with Twitter, with X. I can't do it anymore. I will get on TikTok. I finally have given in and I'll get on TikTok, but I can't do Twitter anymore.
Twitter kind of reminds me of like the bar at the end of town that you're really not supposed to go in because somebody's waiting there with a bottle of whack you over the head with.
Yes, yes, exactly. It is a whole, it's crazy going back on and just looking for a few minutes, and like Twitter is its own beast. That's something I don't want anything to do with.
I think half of that, the animals on Twitter are probably like those people in high school that are like, someday I'm going to get to say something new.
Yeah. I think you're exactly right with that.
And you have a website too, that people can go and learn more about you too.
Yeah. Yep. Just autonicsmusic.com. Yeah, and that has links to all of my socials as well. So,
okay, there you have it. His name is Autonics. Check him out on his website and on more social media in the time to come. We will be looking forward to it. And if you're at your local club, I'm sure you'll be hearing some stuff from him in the very near future. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
We're on that internet thingy at sherpollution.com.
A very special thanks to Autonics for swinging by the Sherpa screening room. And make sure that you're checking out his website and the music that will be following in the very near future. He's got a lot of singles that'll be dropping. I sound so cool when I say dropping a single, don't I? I usually just drop other things like dinner plates and wine glasses and stuff like that. But this is good. Dropping a single, this is a good thing. I've learned this. And also a very special thanks to, once again, Christina Bauer. Hits another home run with one of her clients, sending her this way to the Sherpa Chalet. Much appreciated, my friend. And I hope you're enjoying the show. And if you are, you know you can follow us on podcast apps, sherpollution.com. And the Sherpollution YouTube page. Yep, no video, just audio. You're welcome, trust me. So, in the meantime, you know, we've got some really interesting stuff that is scheduled. I know last week we had some scheduling issues, so I didn't have a guest for you. But right now, I've got some interesting guests coming up. So, make sure you come back on Wednesdays for new episodes. And I'll be here for you. And if we've got a repeat, well, oops, sorry. But I'll try to give you a great new episode. Hope you enjoy it. And don't forget, follow us on social media at Sherpollution, wherever it is that you go. Instagram, Facebook, X, TikTok, what are those places? I'm there. And, you know, that's where you can find out what's going on with the show. And I'd love to hear your feedback. Don't be afraid to leave me a nice review on Apple Podcasts. A nice review, please. And if you do that, of course, you will be entered into our contest where you, yes, you, can win some podcast merchandise. Pretty cool, huh? And it won't cost you a dime. So until then, folks, Lord Mr. Bruce, I think it's time to head on out of here and get ready for next week's show. I'll see you guys then. And until then, viva la Sherpollution.
Thanks for listening to the Sherpa Screening Room. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review, and share this podcast. I'm Mr. Bruce, and this has been a Sherpaloo Studios production. Viva la Sherpollution!